Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. In our culture, we have many leaders, political, economic, and religious, who vigorously maintain the relativity of all moral judgments. If you oppose a politician's lying and committing adultery, you will be told that character is not an issue. We must not judge a politician by his character, but by his performance. If a prominent businessman promotes junk bonds or forces another person to sell his business, we are told that business is business. The Romans were fond of saying that business is one phase of life with which religion has nothing to do. If a religious leader attacks the very foundation of the Christian faith, engages in shady financial dealings, and has a girlfriend on the side, we are told there are no absolutes. The Bible does not approach moral values in such an absolutely ridiculous way. It spells out that some activities are always wrong. The book of Exodus gives a number of these moral absolutes, but let us examine just a few. Keep yourself far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay not, for I will not justify the wicked. Exodus 23:7. Even though the New Testament and the Old use somewhat different language, the basic message on moral values is the same. God's people must always keep themselves from false charges. Regardless of our intentions to right some wrong, we are not to attempt to do that by lying. Paul exhorted the Ephesians, "Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Ephesians 4:25. Are there people who would actually lie to have someone convicted of a crime or to prevent conviction? Tragically, there have been thousands of cases of men's and women's lying out of anger or jealousy or bitterness. The book, contrary to popular opinion by Alan Dershowitz, America's most controversial lawyer, tells of a young woman at Emory University in Atlanta who was supposed to be the victim of racist harassment, of death threats, of hate mail, and of graffiti. But there was no evidence of any foul play or mistreatment. She had invented the story she told. That is pathetic. But what is even more pathetic, Otis Smith, president of the Atlanta chapter of the National Association of Colored People, thought she was justified in lying about her case. These are his very words. "It doesn't matter to me whether she did it or not. Because of all the pressure these black students are under at these predominantly white schools, if this will highlight it, if it will bring it to the attention of the public, I have no problem with that." Pages 100 and 101. In other words, the end justifies the means, even if it means perjuring oneself. The law of Moses unquestionably approved of capital punishment in serious breaches of the law. But it forbade the slaying of the innocent and the righteous. But why should anyone want to slay the innocent and the righteous? Sometimes the righteous and the innocent object to the behavior of the wicked. The righteous and the innocent do not want to be mistreated, nor do they want their families mistreated. If the wicked cannot get their way by honorable means, they will resort to violence, even if it means killing the innocent and the righteous. Think, for example, of wicked Jezebel's attempt to kill the great prophet Elijah. John the Baptist was beheaded because he condemned adultery in King Herod and his consort. Hundreds of other examples could be given, but these should suffice. We are not to engage in bearing false witness or killing the innocent and righteous because God will not justify the wicked. Does that mean that the unrighteous will have to stand before God in the judgment and give an account of their behavior? My friends, you know it does. Thank you for listening, and may God continue to bless you.